Hi guys, my name is Zubair and this is the Mina Bytes podcast. Welcome to the second episode. In the first segment, I'll be talking about the biggest stories from last week. The first one we have is Kareem getting into food delivery space. It was first announced when Kareem made the acquisition of a Dubai-based restaurant listing platform called Round Menu earlier this year. But at that time, there were no details that were shared by the company. Now, last week, a Reuters piece claimed that Kareem is going to spend $150 million from the new investment that it is trying to raise, a $500 million round. That was also reported by Reuters, if I remember correct, earlier this year. So they will be using 150 from this investment to actually expand into food delivery services. They've already started the whole thing. They've already started the process. They're currently hiring in different countries for this business, for this division of their business. The Reuters piece claimed that they're going to start it off from Pakistan, and then they will be expanding into rest of the region, including UAE, Saudi, Egypt, and then some other countries as well. Now, this is very interesting because food delivery space is already very crowded, especially in UAE, Saudi, and to some extent in Egypt and Pakistan as well. In UAE, you have tens of different players currently doing it, from local players to the international ones, but it is pretty crowded. So it is very interesting to see that Kareem is also jumping on this bandwagon where everyone is, you know, trying to get a piece of this market. But what's important to understand here is that Kareem already has some pieces of this puzzle figured out. They have been into deliveries, on-demand deliveries, for more than a year in UAE and Saudi. They've been trying to work on similar products in some other markets, including Egypt and Pakistan, as I have heard. There's no confirmation on that. So they do have some idea about on-demand deliveries. They obviously have a network of captains that they can utilize whenever they like for the food delivery space. They have made this acquisition of Round Menu. So they have some of these pieces figured out. It is not going to be as difficult as someone new entering a market. Someone completely new. I'm talking about a startup. I'm not really talking about an international player expanding into the region. So Kareem is obviously in a very good position here, and it would be interesting to see if they can actually use all these things to their advantage, because again, the space is very crowded, and even if they have all these things figured out, it will still be a very difficult job to get a good market share to actually make an impact in this space. So we'll have to wait to see if that happens. The next story that we have is Noon expanding its presence to China. Now, this story was misunderstood by a lot of people in the region, and I think it's because there's so many of us who have this habit of just reading the titles, the headlines from social media, maybe on Facebook, on Twitter, and not even clicking on the link to actually understand what's going on. Just read the headline and, you know, you have the whole thing figured out in your mind and you start talking about it already. So now, when you actually see the headlines saying Noon launches in China or Noon expands presence to China, it suggests that they're probably going to sell in China, which is not the case. They are expanding presence in China to source products and get Chinese brands, more Chinese brands on their marketplace, who would actually be selling to their customers and to the noon customers in UAE and Saudi. That's where they are present at the moment. That's where Noon is at the moment. So Noon is expanding presence in form of getting some people there, getting some people to China who will probably be based in China. Currently, they don't really have an office there, but they plan to open an office. That's what the statement said. They plan to open an office very soon. So that is going to happen to help Noon get more Chinese brands and more Chinese suppliers, sellers onto the Noon platform, so they could offer a wider range than their competitors to the consumers, to the customers in Middle East, in Saudi and UAE. The third story of the day that we have is Hajj Hackathon. Saudi, with support of Google and in collaboration with Egypt's Rise Up, is organizing this Hajj Hackathon next month in Jeddah. It would be held from 1st August to 3rd August, and they're claiming that it would be the largest event of its kind, where they will bring more than 3,000 innovators, developers, designers from all around the world, who will be building solution around challenges, around different challenges that are either faced by the government or the pilgrims themselves during the Hajj. There are more than 2 million pilgrims that visit Saudi every year to perform Hajj, so this could be a very big opportunity. There are some big prizes for the winners, the person or the individual or the team that is going to win the first prize will be taking home 1 million Saudi riyal in exchange of 15% equity in the product that they will make. The second team or individual will get 500,000 Saudi riyal, and the third team would be getting 350,000 Saudi riyal. These prizes are very big and never heard of in a hackathon that has taken place here in Middle East and North Africa. So it's a pretty big event, and if you are somebody who can build these solutions, you should probably try your luck and apply for the event. Apply to take part in the hackathon. I think the deadline for applications is later this week, or maybe even today. It's probably 17th July, but I'm not exactly sure. It's probably today, but I'm not exactly sure. I'll share the link to the hackathon and to the story we did on the hackathon, so you can learn the details and see if it is something you would like to apply for. Now, a little bit about startups that raised investments last week. The first one is Saidal. Not sure if that is the correct pronunciation, from Saudi. It's an online pharmacy aggregator. It has different pharmacies on its platform, and so people can download the application on their Android or iOS phones, and they can search for the medicines, or they can just browse through different categories to find the medicines that they're looking for, or the other products, other health products, beauty products that they're looking for. And then when they have added these products to their cart, they'll have to upload a prescription, and after uploading the prescription, they can just check out, and these products, these medicines will be delivered at their doorstep, in some cases within 2 hours. Their services are available across different cities in Saudi, including Riyadh and Jeddah. Now, what's interesting is that they've raised a seven-figure seed round, which is still not very common here in Saudi, at least. It is becoming a norm in the Middle East, in the Middle East and North Africa, but still not very common in Saudi. I mean, in UAE, it has become almost a common thing. Not in Saudi though. So this is the first startup that has raised investment. The next one is POS Rocket from Jordan. It's a cloud-based point of sale system that has presence in Jordan and Egypt at the moment, but their product is being used in some other countries as well, including Saudi and UAE. So they sell their point of sale systems to food outlets, to retailers, and it obviously comes with their cloud-based I mean, the solution comes packaged with the hardware as well. What they're using right now is iPad. So if you're a retailer and you request the full solution, you can do that. You can probably have the hardware. You can probably have the hardware already, and they will just configure the whole thing on it. It's not even going to be configured because it's a cloud-based system, very easy to use, very easy to run. So pretty cool startup from Jordan. They had raised, I think, 650,000 last year, and it has not been 12 months since they raised that round. So they're probably doing good. They're probably doing great actually to be able to attract investors again in such a short time. And so yeah, these were the two startups that raised investments during the last week. And now, in the last segment, where I am supposed to speak about something, anything around startups in the region, I have a guest this week, so there's this little change already. They're going to be talking about term sheets and more. It's not a very detailed session, it's more of a quick overview on the thing. So just give it a listen, and please do share your feedback about how I should invite guests, and I mean, what they should be talking about when they come on the episodes. Should it be details, or should it be them sharing their stories of how they're building their startups, or how they got into venture capital? Or what exactly do you want to listen from guests on these episodes? I will be inviting as many as possible in the future, but I still don't have it all figured out. So I'd love your feedback on this. I think I forgot to mention how much money has POS Rocket raised. It's $1.5 million. If I actually forgot to mention that, $1.5 million.
Okay, so I have here with me Abdulaziz Hayat. He's a VC associate at Kuwait's Faith Capital, a VC fund based out of Kuwait. So let's just go ahead and ask Abdulaziz some questions about term sheets and how startups should negotiate, early stage startups should negotiate their terms with when speaking with VCs. Welcome to the podcast, Abdulaziz. If you can please introduce yourself quickly, and then we'll move to the questions.
Sure. I think you did the lion's share there. I'm Aziz Hayat, Faith Capital here in Kuwait. Faith Capital is a VC practice based in Kuwait City. We tend to focus on GCC and MENA, looking at pure software plays. We do web and mobile, both enterprise and consumer, looking for ways we can typically, add value or help our founders grow their business. Given a little bit about our background, is we were started by the you could say the alumni of the founding alumni of Talabat, Abdulaziz Lorani and
Right.
Mohamed Jaffa.
Right.
As of right now, our portfolio consists of two companies which are basically acting as subsidiaries as we have control, which is actually not the standard operating paradigm for us going in the future. Those are the two
Right.
exceptions. One is Just Clean and the other is Flowered. So the first being the laundry marketplace, and the second is a e-commerce flowers delivery business. We have one more conventional VC investment in our portfolio right now. That is Crowd Analyzer. Crowd Analyzer is a, yes, it's an Arabic social media marketing toolkit that's all built around natural language processing in Arabic dialects, various Arabic dialects.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm happy to give you some insight into the term sheet, you know, drafting, negotiation, assumption sort of process. Is there anything you'd like to know about in particular?
Sure, sure, absolutely. So before we move on to that, let's just get some idea about the kind of startups that Faith Capital is willing to invest in. So if somebody is listening and they would like to pitch their startup to you, they could do that. So you are GCC and Mina, you're focusing on startups all around the region, or is it only in GCC, first of all?
GCC and MENA, we've seen them from each of the GCC countries. Occasionally, we get inquiries from the Levant area, mainly Lebanon and Jordan. We get quite a few coming in from Egypt, seeing that there's so much engineering talent out there. So the gist of it really is we're sort of agnostic on a lot of these criteria.
Even on the
so long as it's, sorry?
Even on the verticals, I mean, you're agnostic about them as well. It could be from anything, as long as it's technology or tech-enabled.
Correct. Either proprietary technology or a tech-enabled existing business model, enterprise, consumer, whatever it may be, we'll have a look.
Right. Okay. That's great. So let's just move on to the questions. So let's say if I were an early stage startup, and I'm speaking to the investors for the first time, and I'm negotiating the terms, and the investors are obviously interested in the product. I have an MVP with some traction, and we're negotiating the terms. What would be your first advice to me if I come to Aziz? I mean, forget that you're working for Faith Capital. Let's coming from a VC associate to a startup, to an early stage startup, what would be your first advice when negotiating terms?
My primary advice, especially when you're talking about a term sheet so early in the company's history, when there are so many considerations, so many questions you have to ask yourself before you really commit to not just signing a term sheet, but you know, actually selecting the few VCs you may or may not want to work with. First of all, the term sheet is... it's important not to approach it in sort of an adversarial mindset. It's true that, you know, at the end of the day, this is a legal document and there's two sides of the table and everyone's looking out for their best interest. But at the end of the day, you know, this is a partnership, a long-term partnership that you're going to have with someone who you expect to materially enhance and aid your business aside from just writing a check.
Sure.
So the term sheet revolves around a number of items, including legality, compliance, matters of control, shareholder rights. And then, of course, there's the money and the valuation.
Sure.
So right off the bat, I think most people's eyes will dart immediately towards the valuation and sort of the pre and post money cap table, what that's going to look like. You know, just doing a quick mental math of what do I hold before and after. Of course, I won't sit here and say that's not important. It is. However, you have to sort of weigh the math again in your mind at the negotiating table and when speaking with your advisors and with your co-founders of what are we giving up versus what are we getting. So valuation aside, there are some legal considerations like are you opting for debt? Are you opting for equity? Longer term, there are things that may affect your operations, sort of will this person take a seat on my board and push strategy in a way that I'm not happy with? If they do push strategy in a way that I am happy with, do they have the skill set necessary to judge what really is in the best favor or in the best interest of my business? There are various other matters that will also come into play. For example, especially early on, there are things like employee shareholding plans. You know, carved out amounts so that you could actually be well equipped to hire and retain good talent. There are matters of how to settle disputes and challenges. That tends to be something we tend to go back and forth on. Not quite a bit, I'd say, but I think that early on, most people definitely want some clarity on the matter. There's, of course, the standard legal of maintaining good corporate governance, making sure there were no red flags in the past in that respect, making sure legal structure is all in order, all the paperwork is, you know, all the ducks are in a row in that sense. There's a matter of voting and information rights for all shareholders. So yeah, there's quite a bit that goes into it aside from valuation. But at the end of the day, it's a matter of how much control are you giving up, and what are you getting in response? And is that price that you're paying in terms of equity, in terms of dilution, worth the value add?
Sure. And if I'm an early stage startup, what would be your advice in terms of how much I should be willing to dilute myself in the beginning? Because a lot of startups make this mistake. They, first of all, yes, we are seeing a lot of startups going for convertible notes or safe notes here in the region, but there's still some that actually end up going for an equity round even in the beginning. So what would be your advice in terms of choosing between a safe note or an equity round? And then when you are actually going for an equity round, how much you should be willing to dilute yourself in what's going to be the first external funding round for your company, which is obviously an early stage with some traction, with some users and revenue?
Right. So very early on, like you said, there are some people who do opt for equity. I would chalk that up to just the many founders in the region being more comfortable with that as a form of financing.
Right.
Convertible debt, conceptually, I think generally for smaller, newer businesses, tech or non-tech in the region, is sort of a new idea, and we don't have something as standardized as a safe. The nice thing about convertible instruments is you're not outright agreeing to a valuation of the business from the outset, because given the little traction and the little revenue you have, it's a little difficult to come up with a number.
Sure, yeah.
Right. So that early on, what I would suggest most people do is to go for a convertible of some kind.
Right.
And apologies, what was the second half of your question?
If they are actually going for an equity round, how much they should be willing to dilute themselves out of the company? I mean, what is the maximum number that you would
Correct.
put on that?
Right. Yeah. So the rule of thumb, I've seen and heard in practice here and there is like 20 to 30%, like no
Right.
more than
Yeah.
20 to 30%.
Sure.
But that's not to say that the economics would favor only a 20 to 30% dilution. If for example, your startup may be fledgling, if it's a down round between pre-seed and seed, if there's been a failure to deliver on a lot of key milestones, 20 to 30 might be lucky. So I wouldn't get too hung up on numbers and really focus on the math of what you're giving up and what you're getting in return.
Right. Okay. So convertible, try to get a convertible, first of all. If that is not possible, I mean, you can obviously go for an equity round, and in equity round, don't try to focus too much on numbers. But if it is an option, something between 20 to 30% is reasonable when you're raising your first round.
Yeah. And on the terms of the convertible, very early on, what we tend to see generally is, at least by international standards, you would kind of go for a discount in the 20% range.
Right.
And the valuation cap on the note is usually in the 5 million-ish, give or take 1 or 2 million. Again, it's based on a number of factors that may or may not contribute to your overall valuation perception, at least to the VC. It'll change from person to person depending on who you ask. For people who are very familiar with, valuations in general of obscure instruments, there is no equivalent of like a Black-Scholes model. If you're not familiar with that, you can search it on Wikipedia. But the point is, there aren't a number of factors I can input into a formula and get a definitive number out of the other end.
Right, sure. Okay. So now a lot of early stage startups here in the region, especially those in pre-seed or maybe, even some beyond that, are going for accelerators, joining different programs. And there have been a lot of programs lately. A lot of international accelerators are also coming to the region. There are some that are planning to come to the region. So when they're actually speaking to accelerators, I don't think they have the same flexibility of negotiating the terms, because accelerators most of the times have these fixed terms that you can probably take if you like. If you don't, you would not become a part of the program. So do you have any specific advice when joining an accelerator how they should try to choose the best accelerator for their startup? Because it's not only about money when they're joining an accelerator. I mean, even in case of getting an investment from VC, but in accelerated, it's I mean, they have to base their decision on different things. So what would be your advice on this when they're looking for accelerators to apply to?
First of all, let's talk about the mindset of someone who would go to accelerator in the first place.
Right.
It likely means that this is not your second or third startup after a number of successful exits.
Sure.
People heading towards accelerators are looking to build the baseline of skill sets necessary for the growth of a very low-end startup, at least to survive to a point where Series A is a reasonable expectation. So accelerators at the end of the day are going to help you do one of three things. A, they're either really going to accelerate the rate at which you create and deploy products.
Right.
Another thing they're going to help you do is grow the number of users relevant in a particular product. Maybe they can help a bit in the marketing space or in the product optimization space to kind of boost those KPIs. And finally, another thing they could do is really help you boost revenue in the event that you have the previous two bases covered.
Sure.
Again, if you're going for help with one of those three things, you're likely not a Wall Street or Silicon Valley veteran. So the way a lot of these accelerators tend to, put in equity capital is sort of a set percentage. I think it's
sure.
like 100,000 for 7%
exactly,
at a number
yeah.
of Silicon
right.
Valley.
Right.
Right. So again, you're not in the position of strength, and there is usually a great disparity of force in terms of the experience and the lending hand that they can offer you. Typically, it tends to be a good deal, but the issue with accelerators, actually not just in the region but internationally, I think you would have to look at the incentive. I mean, if they're in there to really, if they're acting on a profit motive and trying to truly build a great sustainable business, and there are other accelerators that are kind of just charity projects with a PR aspect, I'm taking great care not to mention any specific names, whether regionally or internationally, because I don't think it's prudent for a person in my position to do so. But
sure.
every founder really has to sit down, and aside from looking at what they're offering, is you have to look at what their incentive is and what the experience of the team members on the accelerators happens to be and how that can play into your greater expectations and plans for your startup.
Sure, sure. Great advice. Anything else that you would like to share with early stage startups who are perhaps struggling right now, making these decisions about approaching VCs and trying to get investment from them? Any kind of advice that you would like to conclude with?
Yes, actually, even prior to myself becoming a VC and even prior to my involvement with startups at all, there's one really excellent book that I've read on the subject of negotiating term sheets and really trying to understand what goes on in the mind of a VC prior to putting pen to paper. It's called Venture Deals. It's written by Brad Feld, and I can't seem to remember the name of the co-author, but it's really the go-to book with respect to negotiating term sheets and understanding the VC universe, at least in terms of the legalities and the offers that are made. So I would implore really anyone who's looking to either start a startup or join a startup in a sort of a financial or fundraising capacity to really just take a moment and really pore over that book.
Sure, sure. I'll try to find it, and I'll try to put a link in the description of the podcast. Thank you so much, Aziz. It was great talking to you, and look forward to speaking again. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Sure thing. Take care.
You too. Bye.
So that's it for this week. I'll see you guys the next week. And thank you so much to all of you who actually shared their feedback. Please keep it coming. And especially to those who reached out to me showing their interest in actually joining the podcast. I have gotten back to some of you, but there are still some that I've not responded to. I'll most probably do that this week, later this week, probably on the weekend. But yeah, thank you so much. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you guys the next week. Thank you.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.